Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Bikini and the Brain podcast. I'm here with Adam Bonilla, head coach of TeamElitePhysique.com. And my name is Ashley Kottwasser, and we've got a doozy for you today.
Do we?
Yes, I do. I got a doozy for us here. So I was kind of listening to one of our previous podcasts, and you said something along the lines of, sometimes it's not necessarily luck that brings you great things, opportunities, or rewards, but it's hard work. And the more you work hard and stay consistent, the more opportunities that come your way.
Yeah. I think that a lot of times people see people and they say, oh, well, he's lucky, she's lucky, she's got, you know, this happened for her, that happened for her. And I'm like, no, that person earned their luck. Actually, it was funny. It was Mike Tyson was talking about it the other day, and I'm kind of in the same scenario too. Like, and it's kind of funny when you think about it. And it actually was funny. The only reason I remember it is because Mike Tyson talked about it. And then I always thought it was kind of weird too. So when you're coming up in, you know, in the sport, and you're coming up in bodybuilding, you're coming up in, with his thing was like boxing, whatever, right? You, like, you're kind of like a broke bodybuilder, right? You're like, you went through it. You're like a broke bodybuilder, right?
Yes.
So everything's expensive. Supplements, show entry, tan, like it just seems like so much money because you don't have any when you're like starting, you know? All these things just seem like so much. And then later on in your career, then like everything's free. But then you're finally making money. It's weird, right? So like now, you know, Trifecta, they send me food and I get rain from free from rain and supplements and clothes and everything. I mean, I don't even know. It was funny, I was talking to someone the other day, I was like, I'm paying for anything that I'm wearing, right? Now, like ever throughout the week. And it's funny, it's like, well, that is luck, but it stemmed from hard work. And so anyway, they were saying that to Mike Tyson, and someone was saying it to Mike Tyson. He's like, yeah, no, they sent me this. Like, he was talking about his food, everything for him, same thing, type of thing, right? And then, and the guy's like, isn't that crazy? He's like, you're now rich and famous and you can afford it, whatever you want, but now you don't pay for anything. He's like, well, I earned that. Mm-hmm. I earned it. And the guy was like, what? He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm getting all this. He's like, none of this is free. I earned all of it. He's like, everything that they're giving me, I earned it. He was like, and then the guy was like, yeah, I guess you're right. You did, but it's just not, it just seems like it's not right. So it's like, those are just like a typical, that's like a normal thing. Like if your hard work, it's the fruits of your labor and things just come, opportunities will come from it. And I think that it's really cool to see it. And you just like his perspective on it was really cool. Yeah. You know, because he was like, no, I earned all that free stuff. Yeah. You know, so it was kind of cool to see. But, and that's the same thing applies to this. You know, you see a first year competitor or first year whatever, that's the hard years. You know, you get it later on and you're getting opportunities, which are really cool.
Yeah.
You know, we're both getting opportunities that are really cool. And I think that a lot of people that listen to this, I think they're in their first year, you know, 2 years, whatever. And they're like, man, it's so hard. I'm never going to get the break, whatever. Like, no, just keep going. It doesn't come easy. Or else, you know, I mean, it just can't come easy. There's just nothing worth it ever comes easy. Because people don't want to just give stuff away, you know,
right,
to every single person who competes. You know, you have to get to that level where it's worth it to them to do that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you're getting some opportunities, which are cool.
Yeah, I mean, we both are. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and kind of like announce it here that Adam and I got asked to do a European tour after Olympia. Like towards the end of the year. And we don't have the exact details on it yet as it's getting worked out. All I know, it is mid to late November, early December timeframe. And we'll be going country hopping in Europe, Romania, Portugal, UK, Spain.
I didn't know Romania was in there too.
Well, because I'm competing there.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay.
Listen, here's another great opportunity. So basically we got asked to do this European tour, which we will give you more details as we get them. We don't have exactly everything for you here today, so we don't want to say too much. And maybe if we get them in the next week, we can put it in the description or something. But we got asked to do this European tour, and I automatically thought, wait a minute. So if I'm going to Europe for a few weeks, man, maybe there's some competitions out there somewhere. So I pulled up the handy dandy IFBB Pro League schedule, and I was like, oh, okay. So we got a show here in Romania around that time. We got a show here in Spain at the end of the year. I'm like, maybe they would be okay with me competing too. And I pitched that idea to them. I'm like, hey, well, what would you think if I, would it be possible to kind of work our schedule around some of these competitions? I said, like, if it doesn't work, I totally understand. I just thought I'd throw it out there while I'm in the neighborhood, you know? And they're like, wow, we love that idea. So, yeah, Romania and Spain, I'll be competing in.
Yeah.
Most likely. So this isn't 100% confirmed yet, so don't get, you know, too set on it, but we are most likely going to Europe for
this
tour.
Yes, after the Olympia at some point. So it was kind of cool. Yeah, and that was just like an email that just came in, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then I forwarded it to Ash. I was like, do you want to do this? And of course, Ash was like,
"Oh yeah, I didn't even think about it."
Yeah, she's like, "What are you even asking me for?" Like, basically,
yeah, I'm down.
Like, let's go do this, you know. So that's pretty cool, you know, to tour and travel. And what's really cool is they're being very accommodating too. And they said, "Hey, you can do your seminars in the morning. That way, you guys can do whatever you want at the in the night or at the afternoon, and explore the country, and then go to the next country, and then do another seminar."
And
so
compete.
Yeah, and compete. And why not? And why not compete?
I'm so crazy. Like, I love that challenge. Like, yeah, I want to prep overseas. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Like, bring it on. I like those little challenges. Yeah. I don't know. But I just thought, hey, that was a great opportunity to compete even more in a place that I probably wouldn't have been able to go to, or I guess I could have, but it wouldn't have been convenient, or it wouldn't made sense for me unless I was doing this tour. So I'm really excited about that. And like I said, we'll give you more details as we get them. But for now, that's some really exciting news.
And are we talking about the possibility of going to that other country? The competition?
Oh, yeah. Mexico. I'll probably go to Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah. Adam's homeland.
Yes.
The homeland.
The homeland.
Yes. So we'll probably, you know, I feel like I definitely wanted to get in some international shows this year. Obviously, last year I couldn't. Even this year, it's not going to be the most convenient because I'm pretty sure there's some restrictions still happening. Like, we have to do the testing in the hotel or something before we go. And, you know, customs are probably going to be a lot more difficult with that factor in there. But bring on the challenge, you know?
Yeah.
I love it.
Well,
let's
do
it.
We'll get stuck in Mexico. So I think that just basically comes down to the reason that you've been able to get to where you've gotten, and is just you've always taken the opportunities. You know, it's like your schedule is always so jam-packed. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I got a photo shoot, I got a this, I got a that, I got a this. And now, you know, years later, you've really are reaping the fruits of those efforts, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know how many things you get that are like trade-free, you know, type of things, like your skincare, your laser stuff, your everything. I mean, it's like so many random things that are just like sent to you now. And it's cool because you put yourself in that position, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you put yourself in the position, you're constantly doing photo shoots, you always say yes to all these different opportunities, and then because of that, you became more marketable, and there you go, you know.
Yeah.
So people are like, oh, it's lucky she gets all this stuff. How lucky is she? I'm like, no, you don't know the back end that got that made that phone ring, you know. So
right. Yeah, that's, you know, when you get the opportunities, you got to go for them. And just like you said, the more you put yourself out there and the harder you work, and the more you'll get these opportunities. And I think for me, too, one of the reasons why I am able to do this is I'm very easy to work with, and I'm very reliable, too. That's one of my better qualities, I think, is I'm a very reliable person. You can count on me. Like, if I say I'm going to be there, Adam, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
Like,
and early.
We're doing a podcast at 10. I'll be there at 9:45,
yeah.
You know? Rarely am I ever late or cancel
I don't know.
Or anything
I don't know
like
if
that.
You've ever.
Yeah, so I think, like, being that type of person definitely can be a benefit because people will notice and people will see that. And just recently, in this last week, I've gotten two awesome opportunities as well. I'm going to do a seminar in Reno on July 11th after the Patriots show. So here's another example where it might not be the most convenient, but it's going to be beneficial, and I love doing it. And there was no question in my mind, I'm going to do it. So after the Patriots show, basically what I'll do is I'll either drive home or stay in the hotel. And then early in the morning, I got to wake up at 3 a.m. the next day after a show, which is so difficult to do because the next day you're so tired after a show. Waking up at 3 a.m., heading to the airport and doing the seminar in Reno. And then I also got an opportunity to go to the Wings of Strength headquarters to do, like, some interviews and stuff like that. And I'll do that before the Tahoe show.
Yeah.
So, like, these opportunities, you got to take them. And Hawaii, I was like, you know, of course I'll go to Hawaii, even though it's the peak week of Mile High.
That one was crazy.
Yeah, see, these, they're not necessarily the most convenient, but they're worth it. And it's definitely going to better me. And also, I think that there is, like, a little aspect of karma in there, too. Like, you know, by doing the seminars, you are, in a sense, like, helping people, you know, help people learn and maybe get them inspired and motivated. In return, you kind of get that back in some way, somehow, in the future. So it's, like, I know that's one of your big things. You do a lot for the community. You really put yourself out there for help for free. A lot of things people can access through your channels and learn a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas some people are very stingy with their knowledge and information, and they say, oh, you have to pay for everything, or I won't even talk to you. You're willing to help people out. And I think in return, that comes back to you. Some karma in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think earlier, when I was early in my career, that I was a little more stingy with mm-hmm. my stuff. And then I realized, like, that you're so limited to how many people you can help if you're going to be stingy with your stuff. Versus now, you can kind of talk to the world by just putting posts, you know, mm-hmm. clicking posts. You could talk to the whole world, whoever wants to listen to it at least. And not just that, but there's enough people out there giving out information where you're not really revealing that much mm-hmm. anything new anyways. You know what I mean? Right. You're just kind of talking about what's already being talked about at this point because other people are already doing it. So it's like, it makes sense to do that. And especially things like the posing things, like the posing session we have. Because that's that's what I definitely think that. And if there's any posing free, like posing seminars, there's usually in every, so I guess when it started in Denver, it's kind of funny. There's like an example of it. And I'm sure it'll happen here in Vegas too. But when I started doing it in Denver, because I came from Vegas, from LA to Denver, and I started doing free posing like 10 years ago in Denver. And when I started doing free posing, everyone lost it. They were like, free posing, oh my gosh. Like the classes had like 40-something people in it. I was like, this is nuts. I can't handle it. Like the volume was crazy. It was crazy. And then after about a year, then you started seeing other free posing classes to pop up, right? Now if you go to Denver, there's free posing classes like everywhere. There's like 3 a weekend, I think, in different gyms. Every weekend, there's like 3. And so it's funny how like it starts and then all of a sudden everyone sees, oh, he's getting people going there. It works. I want to have people coming to mine, and so they'll do it for free too. So it's like become like a thing in Denver, and I think eventually it'll become a thing here. But a lot of like gym owners don't want to like let people in their gym for free, which is understandable. They're a business, you know. I'm not a business in the gym, so that's not going to be, you know, it doesn't affect me that way. But the thing that I've thought about that I've seen is like when I was younger, coming up in bodybuilding. There was nothing for free. Like you couldn't find anything, any seminars, any help, anything. It just wasn't around, you know? Like you'd see the bodybuilders at the gym because it was in Venice Beach, you know? So you'd see them, but it wasn't like you'd have to go hire a posing coach and that was like $100 an hour. And it was like, actually things were more expensive back then than they are now because there was no access to any information, you know? Mm-hmm. So I remember how hard it was when I was younger. So that's why I kind of do those things now too, is because like, I can't imagine. Because I can imagine being like 14 years old. That's what I was when I was bodybuilding. And then like all of a sudden, like I'm getting into the sport and then I get to pose with Miss Olympia and whoever else stops in, you know, Frida and Anya and Phoebe and whoever else stops in the posing class. Like to just be able to go and experience that, that's pretty crazy to think about. Like, because I would have died if I was like, you know, 14 years old and all of a sudden I get to pose with Dorian Yates and Ronnie Coleman like in the same time. I'd be like, this is heaven. What's going on here? You know what I mean? So like, I don't know. I want to create as many like good experiences, you know, and memorable experiences where people can leave on like a positive note than the negative notes that you hear all the time too is like, oh, prep was so hard. And, you know,
miserable.
It was miserable.
It destroyed me.
Yeah. Eating clean destroyed you. So I want to do that. And that's, I think brings me the most joy too, is when I see, like, there's a couple of girls we have coming in here all the time that aren't even my girl. Like there's a girl named Bryn who comes here all the time. She's like awesome. And she's getting ready for national. She's like here every week, but she's a different, totally different team, totally different coach. Awesome. But I'm like, I'm seeing her improve and I get invested into it too. Cause it's like cool to see her evolve and get closer. And it's like, you build relationships like that with all these people and that are posing and you're getting better and you see them at the shows. And it's just kind of fun too. You know, that's a fun thing. And I think that's like the highest payback out of this is like the relationships and community that are built around it. So I think there's a lot to say for like giving things out and being part of the community.
Yes.
Because the reward to you guys is, yeah, you're learning and you're technically, you know, taking my experience and using it, right? Which is great. But my reward is I get to meet new people and make a friendship and have the community be better. And like it's definitely a give and give, you know?
Yeah.
It's a win-win, so.
And sometimes it's like you do little things that maybe you don't even realize is such a big impact on that person until they reach out afterwards or something. Yeah. Maybe they're a little shy or whatever. But even something as simple as like a 1-hour episode of one of these podcasts. And they, like, for some reason, really hit home with that person and just, like, motivates them or inspires them. And it just, something clicks and it, like, changes their life in a way. So I think that's really cool, too, is, like, something that you're doing that to you doesn't seem like a lot of effort, or you don't really even think twice about it. But for some reason, that particular experience or podcast episode, something they heard or saw from you, really just switched something on in their brain towards, like, oh, yeah, I'm inspired now. I'm motivated. I'm going to do this. I think that's one of the best, I guess, feedback or messages I could get is, yeah, like, you know what, Ashley, I was reading this about you, or I saw this YouTube video where you said this, and it really just changed my way of thinking or inspired me to, like, get on it and just to be my best or start a healthier lifestyle or start working out or to enter in their first competition. I think that is so rewarding how many people you can actually, like, touch. Even, I mean, just social media, whether you like it or hate it, you're able to reach a new set of people that you wouldn't normally be able to, that are, you know, overseas or whatever the case may be. So I think that is definitely a blessing for us that we grew up in that era. Now we can kind of distribute our knowledge and experience with everyone, and they can benefit from it as well. And in return, we feel really good about it because it does feel good to help out the community or anybody else, you know?
Yeah. And I think, like, speaking from where we're at now, in our, you know, advanced, I guess, years of doing it, and how can, I think, thinking about it, like, putting it out there and, like, for someone who's just starting, like, what can they do, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what are the things that got you to where you're at? Because you've been doing this for, you know, years of constant doing social media and competing and all these different things. And now you're at the level where you're like, okay, like, I could see someone listening to this and being like, okay, well, you guys get it, but how did you get it, right? Like, type of thing. So, like, what were some of the things that, I guess, when you were starting that, because the opportunities, I guess, to a lot of the listeners aren't going to be there as much as they are for us, right? Mm-hmm. So what are some of, like, the tips that you could give them on, okay, how do you get to the level where you're at? What are the opportunities you're talking about? Mm-hmm. What are the little ones that lead to the big ones, type of thing?
Right.
I guess would be some of the inconveniences, I guess, would be, I can tell you mine as a coach, mm-hmm, but I'm sure there's a lot of different ones for you as a athlete.
Right. So I definitely think, you know, putting yourself out there first and foremost is a great way to kind of get possible opportunities in the future. You know, don't be too shy, you know, go to shows, go to events, offer to help. But if we're talking about, like, how maybe it could come from success, you know, I think there's a lot to be said with some consistency and learning lessons through every failure that you have and just being determined to push through and to be a better version of yourself for the next time. And I think a lot of people kind of turn down little opportunities because maybe at the time they seem like just an inconvenience, like, you know, why do that? But you never know when that opportunity could be even something bigger in the future, just because maybe you met that person's familiar or likes the way you work or whatever the case may be. It's kind of hard to pinpoint it since we're being very general because I don't know anybody else's situation, but I know for me that I always took those good opportunities when they came, even if they were inconvenient. But if I knew, like, this is definitely going to be beneficial to me or somebody else, like, I am willing to, you know, work hard for it. And one thing in particular that sticks out in my mind, and I've mentioned this before in the podcast, the most inconvenient of a situation, like, hey, Ashley, I got a call. Hey, Ashley, do you want to do a seminar in South Korea? Okay, when is it? Sure, tomorrow. Yeah, oh, okay, I guess since I'm not doing anything tomorrow, sure, let's do it. So I jumped on a plane within a few hours, and I went to South Korea. So, you know, that's just one example. You got to kind of be willing just to go for it,
yeah,
and not to doubt yourself. And even if it's hard, inconvenient, or whatever, it's going to be worth it in the end. And it's important to take these little opportunities as they come knocking, you know? Because a lot of times, if you don't take that opportunity, somebody else will.
Yeah.
You know? Somebody else is going to take that spot. And I hate that feeling. And sometimes, to be honest, I feel like that about some of the shows. Like, if I'm, like, on the edge, like, should I do it or should I not? Sometimes I'm just like, well, you know, Ashley, if you don't take this opportunity to compete and maybe if you win, maybe you won't. But if somebody else wins, that could have been your opportunity to win if you didn't do it. So I don't know. I kind of go back and forth with that. And that's like a little bit of a struggle with me sometimes. Like we've talked before, like to go for that show or to not, is it smart to do it? Or is it like going to kind of be detrimental in the future? So it's kind of like you have to draw that line. Is it going to benefit you taking that opportunity or is it not?
Yeah, that's cool. I like that you think that. That shows you that how like dedicated and how much you care about it though too, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and it's that's the way it is too. You know, that's the same thing with the gym. If you're not willing to put in the work today, someone else is. You know, someone's going to take your spot. And so I always like to think of that as like competing, is that the best athlete is just an accumulation of so many successful days. Mm-hmm. You know, and who's going to have the way that you get better than an athlete is like whenever they have a day that's not successful, you capture that day. Mm-hmm. And you beat them that day, and that means that you're one day closer to kept passing them. And as many days as they slip and as many days as you do perfectly, then you're going to pass them. You know, you're going to eventually accumulate enough days to pass them. And then one day you beat them, and then they're like, how did that happen? Well, I didn't lose a day. Now you can't catch me because I'm still not going to lose a day.
Right.
You know, and that's how Michael Jordan lived and Kobe Bryant and all these top guys. They captured every single day. And I think the same thing comes with like the opportunity and with fitness. I was talking to someone last night actually, and they were like talking about having a like dessert, and they're like, oh, I'm in my off season. And I'm like, you just had a dessert like 3 days ago. Like, well, I'm in my off season, doesn't matter. And they're like a newer competitor. And I was like, well, like, how do you think like the pros, you turn into the pro, like just not counting calories, not tracking anything, just having treat meals, like when you're in your off season and being up 20 pounds. And I was like, look, you're not the most muscular competitor yet. Like when you diet, I was telling her, like, when you diet down and you're trying to lose 20 pounds, you're going to lose more muscle than if you were to diet down and lose 8.
Yes.
You know, and so you don't even have enough muscle to compete at this point. So let's say you put on 5 pounds of lean mass in a year, 6 months, whatever, and then you diet off 20 pounds. Well, now you lose the four of those 5 pounds, and now you netted 1 pound, and you're just chasing your last physique. Yeah. Go through all that effort, you know? And so that's like the perfect example of like, you know, how the day capturing thing works. It's it's not just in your actions, it's in your meals, it's in your your opportunities, it's in everything. You know, you just capture the way that you excel in this is everything, every meal, every workout. And you're like, oh, Adam, you're being real extreme on that, right? Well, hold on a second, okay? Because this is what happens, and this happens all the time. Let's say you did a show 6 months ago, and I'm telling you this because this happened to me, and you get a sponsorship opportunity, and they need you to be in a photo shoot in 2 weeks, right? How many times has that happened to you? I mean, I'm small time, and that happened to me when I was a competitor.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, we need a photo shoot in 30 days. Well, I wasn't being that great on my diet, so I crash dieted for 30 days, looked terrible, and then the sponsor told me, he's like, yeah, could you come in like a little leaner next time? I was like, yeah, I was barely lean enough. You know, I wasn't even lean enough. And they're like, you come in a little leaner next time. And I was like, yeah, I needed, he's like, we gave you 30 days notice. And I was like, yeah, I guess in the sponsorship world, that's enough notice. You know, you gotta be lean. And there's a guy, Ian. He's always been like, he told me, I'm always going to be in the shape where if someone calls me the next couple days, I'm just like, he's like, I've done a photo shoot. He told me once that he did a photo shoot, with a day's notice. And he was like, all I did was just, I got a phone call. They said, be ready. I slammed water for like an hour. And then I was like, okay, no more water. That's what he said. He's like, and I was ready the next day. And like, he's like, my pictures looked awesome. So it's like, these things are not, you know, it's an accumulation of you being ready for these opportunities too. So it's, you know, Ashley saying yes to that, being ready to go to South Korea. Ashley being, probably being confident enough to go to South Korea because she was in a good enough shape where she wasn't, you know, where she could be in a bikini, you know, that type of thing. So like these things are all, that's how you're going to build the career in fitness. It's you're staying dedicated, you're giving back to the community, you're helping people, you're putting yourself out there, you're active on social media, and then all of a sudden, and you say yes to opportunities, you know, you say yes to opportunities, to photo shoots, to
absolutely.
Whatever.
Absolutely, and that is a real thing, and I will say, I've taken other people's opportunities before, too, with the photo shoots, because I've had conversations with photographers. They're like, Ashley, are you available for, like, a photo shoot next week? I tried contacting a few other bikini girls, and they're all in the off-season, and they don't feel comfortable shooting yet, and I'm like, I'm ready. Let's do this. Yeah. Like I'm always ready.
Yeah.
And I always think about that too when somebody else asks me that. Like, if I don't take this opportunity, somebody else is going to. And that tears me up. I hate that feeling. Like, I'll be darned if somebody's going to take my opportunity from me. I'm going to be ready. And I also feel like we need to, even if we're not 100% sure that we're going to come out successful in taking an opportunity, whether it be a show or something else, I will say there is sometimes a feeling worse than not succeeding with this opportunity, and that's a woulda, coulda, shoulda. I hate that feeling. So it's almost like you have a few choices. You could either come out successful in this opportunity you take, you can fail, or you can always wonder, wow, what if I took this opportunity? Where would I be?
Yeah.
I should have. So in a sense, even if you fail, it could be easier for you mentally than a woulda, coulda, shoulda. Because for me, that tears me up, those woulda, coulda, shouldas.
Yeah.
They do. I hate that feeling. It's almost like I would have at least tried so then I know rather than always wonder, man, what if? What if? So I can honestly say I don't think there's too many opportunities I've turned down. Only opportunities that I can remember that I took, and they definitely benefited from me. And I think there's some opportunities that I've taken that I didn't even think twice about just because I'm like, nope, got to do it. No ifs, ands, or buts. I've got to do it.
Yeah.
There's no question. So do you have any examples of an opportunity that you've taken in your lifetime that you didn't even question? You're like, nope, absolutely going to do this for sure. That's definitely changed your life now or got you to where you are currently?
I think for me, see, the thing is, I'm kind of the same with you. I never turned down anything. And I think it was just accumulating. There was no like bang opportunity that like would just like made everything erupt type of thing. But it was just, I think it really was just an accumulation of always being active. Like always, always, always being active. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, to the point where it was like, you know, I worked myself to the point of uncomfortability, like quite often, you know? Right. So like, but there wasn't, it was, for me, it was just a lot of small things. And when I wasn't, like, here's the thing, when I was trying to build like my trainer business and trying to get clients and whatnot, when I wasn't training clients, and I see trainers all the time that like complain about not having clients or whatever, and they're like, yeah. And then I'm like, what are you doing in your downtime, you know? And so for me, it was like when I was starting, there wasn't any social media. So I would work, I was like, oh, I want to train 8 hours a day. And so what I would do is I would, however many clients I had, let's say I had 3 clients that day. Well, that means that I had 5 available hours that I either could leave the gym or go work out only or do what other trainers do and they just go mess around and leave the gym and then complain that they're not busy enough, right? I was like, no, I'm going to be here for 8 hours at the gym. I'm going to be here for 8 hours at the gym every day, even if I don't have clients. And so I would be there and then I would just walk the floor and help people with form and talk to people and do free body fat testing outside the gym. And like when people would walk in, do a free body fat test or take people through free arm workout that day or whatever, I just made sure I was always doing something, you know, during that downtime. Because the only way you're going to get busy during that downtime is if someone knows that you're there and that opportunity comes up. And sometimes I'd be sitting behind the table doing like free body fat tests. And then someone would finally like come up to me and be like, oh, I've always wanted to have a trainer, but I just never really knew like how to go up to them. They're always busy with the clients and no one's ever available. I'm like, I could talk to you now, you know, like that type of thing. And that's like the hard work part of it, you know, the inconvenience part of it, which is just like, I always say fitness is never going to be convenient. It's always going to be, you know, methodical and inconvenient and going out of your way to like to get that success. And so, yeah, now I don't have to do that stuff, but it all stemmed from that, you know. And our trainers who started with me like way back in the day, like Tori used to do that for hours and hours. Julia did that for hours and hours, like free body fat tests. I was like, this is how you do it. This is how we train you. You know, that's how, you know, so Sam even had free like scan days where she would just scan people for free, you know, like it was just like, that's how it started. You know, it was like being inconvenient, you know, creating opportunities, creating like working for free, you know, it was like, it's just, it sucked, you know, but that's how you get these things going. Mm-hmm. And so like, if you're doing photo shoots and you're not getting paid for them, but you're getting in front of people and that person might have a connection and that picture might be used for something, and that's how these things get going. You know, that's how it gets, it's free body fat testing, free this, you know, I did judging for free. I judged people. I judged NPC shows for free. I announced for free. I did 1,000 seminars for free, posing seminars. Like when we go to Europe, I'm not going to get paid for that. They're going to pay for my flight and stuff like that. But it's just like, it's hard. I still have to do my check-ins and all that. You know, it keeps you relevant it keeps you in people's circles. It keeps you talked about, and that's just part of it too, you know? So yeah, like staying active, just stay active, stay active. So there isn't really a main one that came up. I'll say the only like main one that came up was when I went to like Club USA, and I'll always mm-hmm. be like thankful to Club USA in Littleton, Colorado, because the owner there was like, he was a really cool dude, Rick Schliebe. And he was like, "You're the best trainer I've ever seen, and I've done this for 50 years." And he always like, he would say it in front of other trainers, which is kind of, so you know he meant it, right? And so like he was like invested in my success too, because my success meant his success. He got 25% of my money. so that's probably why he liked me so much. But I think that's another thing too. You need to meet people along the way that are right. Believe in you and invested in you. And when I went there, I went there and there was no contest prep coach there out of that gym. And I just left 24 Hour Fitness and everyone mm-hmm. kind of knew me in the community already. And then when I went there, everyone was like excited. They were like, "Oh, great, Adam's here. We haven't had a contest prep coach." And and they all knew me because I was doing free seminars at 24 Hour Fitness. I was doing free posing. Right. And so people would come to that from that gym that was down the street. And then when I came there, everyone was like, "Oh, cool, he's here." And so a lot of people started prepping. And so what happened was we went there to that gym. People knew me because of my seminars. And then that first show, we had like 10 people in that first show, which was like the biggest amount of people I ever had. I had 10 people prep for one show, and they all dominated. But they dominated too because these people were already in pretty decent shape when I got there. They're already into it, you know, because mm-hmm. they wouldn't know who I am if I wasn't into it. But they were just like excited about it, doing it with their friends, and they all decided to jump in. And that created some hype behind Team Elite in Colorado. Because at that time, we're only bringing like 3-4 people to a show. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, you know, that's one of the things that kind of exploded and got us really, really known really quick, at least in Colorado, because like all their friends, and here's another thing too, like all their friends came to support them. So, you know, you think about the numbers of that. I have 10 people doing a show. The first time I had 10 people. And then I had, they were wearing, which is crazy, is I gave them a shirt. I gave them all a shirt. I didn't tell them to wear it or anything like that. Mm-hmm. At that point, I wasn't trying to brand or anything like that, but I just gave them all a shirt to wear in the gym, and they all wore it to the show. And I was like, "That's cool." You know, like I didn't expect that. And so I still have that first picture too. And and then they gave their friends the shirts too. They're like, "Hey, can I have one for my friend?" Well, this and that. And I gave them, and everyone wore it. So it was like 30, 40 people like wearing these shirts. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, "Who's this? Who's Team Elite?" Right? They're like, "Oh." So then it became like a thing. And then we were like the first like major, like main team in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And then other people like said, "Well, I better start creating teams and whatnot right. too." Like my friend Wadi, he created Tried and True because of that. He was like, "Well, I gotta, now it's not just me." It's because he's been doing it forever. He's like, "Now it's not just me. I gotta create a brand name because of you." It's kind of fun. Me and him are good buddies. I love that guy. And it's just cool how it stemmed. But that was created because of hard work. And they're like, "Oh, I can't afford to do shirts right now," right? Well, let me tell you how that happened. So I bought 100 or 200 shirts, blank shirts, from like somewhere online. I think it was like jiffyshirts.com. And they were like $2 a shirt. And then, you know, printing them was like $7, $8 a print. I couldn't afford to give that out. So I learned how to screen print. Like I went and I rented a screen printing room. You could rent it for $25 an hour. There was a place in Denver where you could do it. And you'd rent it for $25 an hour. It took me like 4 hours, maybe 3 hours to like print all those. And I was poor back then, so I was just like screening them out. I was like, screen, put it on the rack, screen, get it out. So I learned how to screen print. I printed all my own shirts. I gave them away for free. Like, and then I did free posing seminars, right? It was just years and years and years of grinding and grinding and grinding, and it finally came through. And I think that was probably one of the bigger moments for us was that show, because it was like, we were like, branded at that point. You know, it was like, and I didn't even expect it to be like that.
Right.
I didn't know they were all going to wear it. I didn't know it was going to be this huge thing. I didn't ask them to do it. They just did it like to support me. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's that what happens is like, I had all these people supporting me. You know, I had Rick was like giving me the opportunity to use his gym and wanted me to bring as many people as we could. And this was like a family gym. So that was a big risk for him to bring in a bunch of competitors. Right. Then I had the clients that believed in me and wanted me to be successful to the point where they would wear my stuff and tell their friends to wear my stuff. And then I had the appearance, right? And then I had to put out a good product, right? We had to put people on stage that were winning. So we destroyed that show. Like, I think everyone like placed like first or second overalls and everything. And so it was like, man, these guys are just dominating. So you have to do good in your work. You have to do good on the side. You have to give back to the community. And that created the essentially the first spark of the boom, right? And so I think that when I think about it now, it's like, yeah, all that was from free body fat testing at that gym, from free this, from seminars, from whatever, and it like finally came through. But it was like, yeah, it was based on, you know, taking advantage of every single thing, having a good circle, having people believe in you. And, you know, it made a big difference. You know, Jeff Taylor was part of that too, like believing in me and telling me to like push me. He was always pushing me to do more and more and more, which right. was kind of cool, which I didn't want to do. And he was, I actually don't want to talk to him probably now because he'll tell me to keep going more and more. And I'm like, I don't want to go anymore. but yeah, and it's just in you too, you know, believing in me. So it's in, you know, you need a lot. You need a lot of it, but you create those opportunities by doing these things. And I think that you're a perfect example of it. I'm an example of it in a different right. area, you know, but it just shows you got to take the opportunities, you got to create the opportunities, you have to go out of your way, and it's not just like that with just this work, it's like this with any work, you know.
Right. Exactly.
We could talk about, for example, we could talk about Nadim was a great example of that. He reached out to a bunch of people and he was doing film, mm-hmm. right? He did some film for some big people, and now he's shooting for A-Rod and Jennifer Lopez, right? That was like 3 years after he started filming, I think, right? Like within 3 years, now he's like living with A-Rod and Jennifer Lopez, like shooting, doing their film stuff. And it was like, he did your stuff, he did Christian Guzman's, right, stuff. Like things like that. And it's just like, he created those opportunities because he was like, I just want to shoot for you. I just want to shoot for you. I'll do a film, a thing for you one time. Just let me prove myself. And like, who does that these days, you know? Everyone else is like, no, I'll charge you $1,000 for film because I'm good. And like, and they're in the same spot they were, barely getting any clients, like a year later while he's soaring, you know what I mean? On private jets and stuff. So it just shows you, you know, going that extra mile, mm-hmm. like really does pay off in the end. Not in the beginning, at all.
Right.
at all.
Yeah, very inconvenient.
At all. But yeah, those are kind of some of the things. I think that was the biggest boom, if ever was a boom.
Yeah, totally. I think a good example for myself, where I took a good opportunity, didn't even think twice about it, is like, whenever you reached out to me to coach me, which I've mentioned the story before, so I don't want to go too much into it. I know in Jay Cutler's interview, I did the whole story, but I'll give you a little summarized recap. Basically, in 2017, I took a year off, and I didn't tell anybody when I was coming back. And I went to my friend's bikini competition, and it was there I got the itch to come back again. I'm like, oh my gosh, I missed this. I need to get back up there. And then I remember having a conversation with her at the show, like, oh man, but who would be my coach? I was like, but wait a minute. Remember Adam Bonilla? I did a seminar with him once, and he trained me once, and he was super knowledgeable. And you were the first person to pop up in my head as a possible coach. And then I got the email from you, like, very shortly after I had that conversation with my friend, not publicly, just in private, by the way. No one else knew I had this conversation with her. And right after, I got that email from you asking if I plan on competing, and if so, you'd love to prep me. And I think that's a combination of both of our opportunities coming together. You kind of put yourself out there before as a really good coach. I know we did a seminar together, and also you trained me once, but we didn't really have any contact beyond that. It was just like a few years ago or whatever. But you were willing to kind of put in some extra work and reach out, right?
Yeah.
And maybe I wouldn't have such a positive view of you if I didn't have those two experiences with you previously. And then I took the good opportunity because I was like, whoa, I have a crazy gut feeling about this. This is a good thing. And the coincidence just was more than a coincidence. Like, wow, right when I had that conversation with my friend, you emailed me. So that was like a crazy, like, stars aligned kind of deal. But I think in both those scenarios, you put in the work, right?
Yeah.
And I took the opportunity, and now we're here. And I wouldn't be here and doing as well as I am if it weren't for you.
True, actually. Because you had to say yes to the seminar originally.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Yeah. And that was my first time knowing you. It's funny, this popped up on my stories today. I'll put it on the screen, but it's a picture of our first training session together.
Oh, that's funny.
This is 2015.
I think that's still on the website too.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, it was last time.
It popped up on my Facebook stories.
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Woo. Another one popped up too when we were in LA and trained, or at Burbank at your and I gave. Remember I said I was like, I have to welcome you to LA, and I gave you an I love LA shirt or I love whatever. And like that picture popped up, which is really funny. That was like, I think like 2 years after that one. That's really funny. When you used to live above the gym. That was so crazy. You lived above a gym. She lived in Burbank for a while, and her apartment was above the gym. Mm-hmm. I remember I got to the gym, and I was like, I'm at the gym. You're like, oh, I'll come down. And I'm like, you live above the gym?
Yeah.
So crazy. That was like the perfect like living scenario, that
yeah,
place.
Yeah, actually the worst place I've ever lived.
Was it really?
It was like in a very boring neighborhood, although it was nice. It was like in a retirement home community, I guess. But
yeah. You like being in the action.
Somewhat. And now I'm not in the action anymore, even though I'm in Vegas. Like a lot of people think Vegas is like, oh yeah, you got to live on the Strip. That's crazy. No, I'm nowhere near the Strip. I'm in a quiet, peaceful, laid back neighborhood.
People think that about Vegas. They think like everything is just the Strip.
The Strip, right.
I'm like, you guys, there's like a whole, it's like a, like the fitness community out here is crazy.
It is crazy.
It's, and like, I don't even go to the Strip really. I mean, unless I go to a show, I go to a lot of the shows, like, and I go to the Strip. But more times than not, and I play poker like all the time, and I play at like the small casino off the Strip. Like that's where I play. So I think people need to come out here more because you know, who else is opening a gym too? Is Hide is opening a gym, which give a shout out to Hide.
He texted me for a high res photo to put in his gym.
Oh yeah, that's cool. Hide Tada Yamagishi and Iris Kyle, they're opening up a powerhouse out here. Flex Lewis obviously has a gym out here, the Dragon's Lair. They have some cool gyms. LV Fit Club out here is like I don't even know how I would define that gym. That gym's like, it's like pink lights. It's like real loud music, but it's like more, it's definitely not like bodybuilder gym. It's more like just a cool gym.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like a different vibe. It's a totally different vibe than any other gym. It's like a fun gym.
Right.
It's like, it's just different. It's really cool.
And then there's the Contest Prep Center.
The Prep Center, yeah.
Great things about that gym.
It's the
highly recommend.
The hidden gym. I think that's it. But Hide's opening gym up in, I think it's like two, it's in July it opens. I think it's in July or late June, something like that. So yeah, it's really cool for him. And it's like a really nice gym. It's like 8,000 square feet. It's all this equipment from, I think he said it was like half of the gym was from one equipment manufacturer, which like no one has, and it's from like Korea, I think he said.
Oh, okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It's from a different country that like no one has in the United States. I think it's the first time it's been in the United States, if I'm right. And then the other half of the gym is like Iris' sponsor equipment. So it's like two different brands, which is kind of cool, you know? So it's just different. It's just the community is really cool out here.
Yeah, it is.
So cool place to come.
Highly recommend. And Olympia's coming back, not this year, but next year. So.
Yes, finally.
It gives you guys more reason to come out here.
It's so annoying that we moved away. We moved here and everything moved away. Like,
but it's coming back.
It's coming back. I was so excited. USA's are at UNLV usually, and they've always been at UNLV. And UNLV, I can literally ride my scooter to UNLV. The Olympia used to be at the convention center, the Las Vegas Convention Center, at least the Expo. And it's behind my neighborhood. Like, it's out of the gate of my neighborhood. It's like, I get out the gate, I can see it. Like, that's where it is. And then Planet Hollywood's like 12 minutes from the Prep Center. So it's like, we're in like the perfect location. And then everything's gone.
Except for the
Patriots
show.
The Patriots show is bad.
My next show is literally 5 minutes from this location. Less than 5 minutes.
I'm going to scoot there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
you can scoot there.
Yeah,
for
I'm going to scoot there for sure.
Yeah. Roll up in that scooter, you know?
But when I get a little speaker on it, like they see me rolling song. I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, so that's gonna be a convenient one.
Yeah.
Nice break from all this travel. So, you know, it's amazing. And I think that was also, here's another thing. Once, COVID hit, and that was like a great opportunity for us to skedaddle from our current residences. Me from Los Angeles, I was like, oh, wake up call, gotta skedaddle.
Yeah.
This is my opportunity to leave. So I just, you know.
That's actually another, you're right. That is a big opportunity that we took up on that we didn't really talk about because, so we talk about these things a little bit, like, on this podcast, not a lot, but a little bit, like just the opportunities, but also like the business things a little bit too, what we talk about, but the, leaving Colorado was like, it was a hard decision to make for sure. But this building in general it was empty for like, one guy said 10 years, one guy said 15 plus. So that lived in the neighborhood here that I met, and he owns that like restaurant. I still haven't taken you to that restaurant. I'm going to take you to that restaurant with the belly dancer things.
Yeah.
It's so fun. It's down the street from here. What is it? I would love to give him a shout out, but I forget what the name it's called. Marrakesh restaurant. Really cool. But anyway, he grew up in this neighborhood. He's like, yeah, that building's been empty for so long. Like, I can't. He's like, since I was like 15, he wanted to say, and he was like in the 30s, you know? So, anyway, so this building was empty, and it used to be a bank at one point, and it was really hard to work with because it has all these cement walls in here because it was a it was like a safe, like, you know, there's safes and stuff. But because of it, it was like 50 cents on the dollar. It was like super cheap to get it. Mm-hmm. But the opportunity was there because COVID hit, and the people who own this building owned a bunch of buildings. And this building, they're just trying to get rid of. They're like, this building is just a waste of our money. It's not making anything. It's not going up. No one wants it. No one can work with it. And we have to pay taxes on it and maintain it and all that. And we just want to get rid of it. And we need some money to pay what people aren't paying in their rent, because no one's paying rent in these commercial buildings because they can't afford it because no one's at work. So they just needed to get through COVID. So they're like, we'll just get rid of it, basically. And what happened was, I came here a couple times, and I wouldn't have came here. Ashley moved here in June, it was? June?
Mm-hmm. June 2nd, 2020. Yeah.
I wouldn't have came here unless Ashley was going to move here. I would have probably moved to Texas. That's where I probably would have moved. Or Florida. And so when Ashley moved here, I was like, you know what? There's not really like a team there anyway. There's no like major team. So it actually makes sense to go there. And then I like looked at this building, and I was like, this is the only one that would make sense because it's close to the Strip. I'm not going to be able to get the square footage that I want anywhere else unless I spend like $4 million, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, like you coming here, this building being available, all that stuff was created, which is funny, from that original opportunity that I asked you to come to Posing Seminar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Isn't that crazy? Because you're like, I wouldn't be here if I didn't say yes to that Posing Seminar.
Yeah. I wouldn't be here. Because I wouldn't really know you that well.
Yeah.
You know?
I wouldn't be here if you didn't say yes to that Posing Seminar. There's no way. Mm-hmm. I'd have no, like, you know, I wouldn't have been exposed to Vegas, really. I would have just kind of came through whenever something happened and then left, like I did. But when you were here, I stayed at your place for a while. And then this place came available, and you came with me a couple times. And, yeah, it's kind of crazy how life works, right?
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, it is.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, like, you know, as long as you keep working hard, stay consistent, opportunities will come your way eventually. It's hard to tell which ones and when and how and which way they present themselves, but they will come. You just got to, like, kind of, like, keep your head up, keep pushing forward, and learn from those mistakes, because we also should mention, each time you fail, that is an opportunity to learn. So sometimes you can't learn and you can't improve until you have the opportunity to fail and learn. So I think that even if something doesn't go your way, something's negative, just think, what can I learn from this and what can I do better for next time? So it's always, always an opportunity to learn.
And you can't be, the other thing too, I think, is you can't be afraid to fail. And after you get through a few failures, you'll realize it's not the end of the world and you're going to be fine.
And those what it could have shown is a worse than failing.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
So you just go for it, man.
Yeah.
Just go for it.
So I guess with anything other, any tips you got, anything, that's it for this episode?
I think that's pretty much, we covered it all.
That's a fun one. Yeah. It's fun to think back on those things. And it's actually to put that into put it out there, I guess, how everything did stem from that first seminar and how we're here now and you're working here now too. And like the community's here now. It is crazy. Yeah,
they all kind of line up. Like this thing wouldn't happen if this thing didn't happen, and this thing wouldn't happen if that thing didn't happen. So it kind of builds on each other, right?
Yeah.
And it all just goes back to that first initial like reaching out thing. So
yeah, and if I wasn't doing posing classes already, I wouldn't have had the base to say, hey, I'm doing a posing class with Ashley now.
Yeah.
To even create that, And so like, and then you had to say yes, and then yeah, it's just so many things, you know, that had to line up. And then now look at what comes from it. It's so cool. I think that's another thing to talk about, too, is, like, people can see is, like, the opportunities that this industry in general create. It'll change your life, you know. It could change your total life. Like, I can't imagine this even being a thing, you know. So it's pretty cool. So thank you. And for you guys, thank you all, because that's the reason that it exists, you know. And the Mannions who create this, and, like, it's just, it's really cool to be able to kind of live this way, you know.
It is. We're living the dream right now.
Yeah.
I mean, living it up. Dude, I'm living my best life right now.
Yeah. I mean, I live a few houses down from the prep center. I scoot to work.
So convenient.
I scoot to work. I scoot to my gym. I scoot to the other gym I work at. I scoot to my favorite restaurant. And I'm like living in this thing, and all, like, everyone's here all the time. Like the other day, I mean, it's just crazy. Like the people that come here, you know, I'm like, it's just casually just walking in is like Olympia people and posing, like, oh, I'm gonna do posing with you guys. It's like, it's just nuts, right? It's just nuts. I think about it sometimes too, like that, because I used to like look at these magazines and like read the magazines, and I would see like these like people I would look up to, you know, the Jay Cutlers, the Ronnie Colemans, and all these guys now, you know? And now it's like, oh, I was looking through one the other day, and I was, like, looking through it, and I was like, oh, I got that guy's number in my phone. I got that guy's number in my phone.
Isn't that cool?
I know this dude. Like, it's like, it's just, before it was like, you just wanted to meet them.
Unattainable, like, yeah. They're like, like you can't reach them or something, and now you're in the mix, right?
Yeah.
You're amongst them.
You're like, oh, that's cool. It's just, that's just whoever, you know? And it's like, no big deal. And it's like, you know, you just got to put in the work. You got to put in the work. You got to take advantage of the opportunities. You got to sacrifice a little. You got to eat a little bit, you know? You got to eat it a little bit sometimes. And then, and just do it with a smile, and the next thing you know, things come your way.
Yep, so, just go for it, you know? You'll never be able, what do they say? You'll miss 100% of the shots that you never take. So
Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky, that's
just
good.
Just go for it. So just go for it.
You're throwing Gretzky quotes out? I like that. That's a great, we're going to end it with that.
That's a very common quote.
Is it?
Yeah, that's a really common quote.
Well, I did see it in quotations with a Gretzky thing on a poster once, but maybe he caught it from someone else.
No, maybe he did. I'm not sure, but I'm just saying.
It sounds like a hockey player quote that would make that.
It's very common quote.
You miss 100% of the shots.
No, he probably did, but I'm just saying, like, don't be too impressed with me. I've probably seen it on many of those little postable, like, quotes.
Yeah.
Quotes.com or something. I don't know.
Is that a thing? Okay.
I don't know, probably, but it's everywhere. Very common.
Well, thank you guys so much. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.